who continually devote both their time and skills on a regular basis in an effort to make a positive impact on hunger and the food needs of the community. Volunteering has no age limits. Your commitment and energy is enough. It is a great way to make new friends and contribute to your community. Partners of Mission Food Bank volunteers provide essential services in many ways, including assembling daily hampers, sorting food donations, breaking down and portioning bulk items, packing eggs into cartons, keeping the warehouse safe and clean, and providing helpful input to other volunteers and staff. Interested in volunteering with Partners in Mission Food Bank? Please call our volunteer coordinator at 613-544-4100.
You're listening to the Rock'em Radio Show, the most powerful 2 hours on FM. Rock'em has been rocking the airwaves since 2002, bringing the best of rock straight to your ears. Visit us at www.rock'emweb.com and join the musical revolution. Rock'em, keep on rock'em.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Vous écoutez au CFRC 101.9 FM.
of hate.
Conspiracy reeks in the night.
Rock'n Radio, your rock station.
Thank you. Stop it! brother.
Hi, Rick.
My friend, how are you, my friend? Ah, we love you, we love you.
Rick. Good. Where?
Thank you for having me, Gino.
Thank you, Rick. It's an honor to talk to you.
Absolutely, man. Where are you from? Uh-oh. Sorry, I gotta turn that off. Sorry about that. Where are you at?
Well, Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
You?
I'm in a little town called Lakeport, California. It's northern California. Oh.
Wow. Wow. How are you these days?
I'm good, man. I'm just trying to hustle this new record, man.
Yes. And well, let me tell you that after working on Documane, how does it feel to return to heavy trash again?
Feels amazing. Feels like I'm home, baby. You know what I mean? It feels great, man.
Well, first of all, congrats, Rick, on the release of Addicted to Power. It sounds killer.
God, I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys like it.
Well, I have some questions here. The first, how did Nefarious start and who invited you to join?
So Doug Piercy, the other guitar player, and our bass player was in Blind Illusion, like the last 5 or 6 years. And that came to a point and didn't work out. So Doug's sitting around trying to figure out what to do, and he starts writing a couple songs for maybe a solo record for Doug, right?
Right.
So he gets about 2 or 3 songs done, and he needs help from a drummer to put to arrange this music and to put real drums on it. So he calls up Will, because they both live in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And Will is always down to play music because he's a beast. And he's in about 5 different bands, so you know he's the guy to call. He's very, very good. So Doug gets a hold of Will, and they lay down these 3 songs, and the obvious person to call for bass is Tom, because he's amazing. And so me and Doug have known each other for 40 years. Doug worked on the very first Bonded by Blood demos back in 83. Yeah, so me and Doug have known each other for a very, very long time. And this is before Bonded by Blood was out. This is before the first Heathen record. This is way before any of that.
Wow.
So you know, Doug gets a hold of me, and he goes, "Hey, would you be willing to do a couple solos for my new solo record?" I'm sure, of course, Doug, of course. Just send me some music. So, and we get to talking, and we're throwing stuff around, and he goes, I go, "Well, what are you doing? Why don't we just go ahead and try to write a record and maybe get a band together, bud, and just try to do this?" And so we thought about it, and we talked to Will, we talked to Tom, and everybody's like, "Shit, why not? You know, let's do it." So a couple years ago, I live in a little town called Lakeport, California.
Okay.
Mountains in Northern California. Mm-hmm. So years ago, we put on a metal fest, and we had Hyrax come up, right? So, and after that, because obviously we're going to put a new band together, we need a singer. So we were throwing some names in a hat and yada, 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 and Caden's name came up. And we knew he was in Hyrax, but we're like, you know, what the heck? Let's give him a call and see if he can come up here and sing some songs for us. Not planning on anything in the future or nothing. So we gave him a call, and he found out who was in the project, and he said, "Heck yeah, let's do it." So Doug wrote some lyrics. We finished the record. Me and Doug finished the record, the music, all 8 songs. So what would happen was we'd finish the lyrics on 3 songs and the drums, and all the songs were ready for vocals. So we'd have Caden come up for a weekend and record 3 songs at a time. So it worked out really well. So he'd go back home and we'd write more lyrics, and then send them to him, and he'd get familiar with them, and then he'd come back like in, you know, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, and do the same thing. So he ended up coming up here about four or five times, and we got the record finished, and it turned out he did amazing. He did a great job.
Wow. But what made you say yes to this band? Well, the thing.
Because I love Doug so much, and I think that me knowing him so well, and I can actually, you know, he's a really easy guy to work with, and Will and Tom, and it's just a great bunch of guys, and the songs were great, and because I wrote after I actually committed to the band, I ended up writing like three or four of the songs on the album, so everything just clicked, you know. I mean, I wanted to play thrash. I wanted to play some old school thrash. You know what I mean? And I'm like, who better to do it with than Will and Doug and Tom?
Yes, you have a Caton.
And Kate, of course.
The Vein, they have thrash metal. Of course. And so, Dove record three songs, the three first songs, right?
Yes, sir.
And the other songs, was involved in the recording of the other songs?
Oh, absolutely. I wrote a lot of it, at least half of it. So the songs that were written when I joined were Addicted to Power, One Nation Enslaved, and a song that didn't make it on the album called Feed the Children, which might make it on the next album. We'll see how it goes. It's a great song. It's just a little different. Not as old school thrashy, you know. It's a little bit different. But and then after that, I'm in my studio right now, so I just come up with riffs, and he'd come up with riffs, and we'd send them back and forth. Because technology, we can do it all over email, right? So technology is incredible.
And when that happened, what time, when?
We've been doing it for, the album was released the 19th, the 18th. So the first single, I think, was released in May.
May, okay. But the recordings?
Yeah, so I think from the start of 25, maybe the very end of 24, start of 25, all the way up to the very first single release, which was May. So, you know, in between very last part of 24 to 25, about 6 months.
Wow, you have experience. That's the reason you're fluid. You're organic.
We worked really hard on it. We kind of did some things that we kind of committed to some people that the record was going to be done, and we needed two more songs.
Okay. And
we hired Munzee, you know Munzee?
Hey, I know him.
So we hired Munzee and our publicist, John Freeman, and we needed two songs to finish the record. So we made ourselves... Now we have commitments that we have to match up to. So we got to finish this record. You know what I mean? So me and Doug, we go, okay, we need two songs. You write one, I'll write one. Let's go. So I wrote Avatar of Chaos, and okay. he wrote The Snarler. And then it was done. The record was finished.
Yes, I'm checking your songs.
Yes, sir.
Ah, Snarler, okay. Because you have eight songs here, eight tracks.
There's six on the vinyl on the record.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there's time constraints for audio quality on vinyl. It shouldn't be more than 17 minutes on each side. And if you go over that, the audio quality dies like drastically. So we kept it, you know, eight on the CD and six on the vinyl.
Okay. And Rick, which track was the hardest to finish or was the most personal for you?
The hardest? The most personal for me would probably be Avatar of Chaos, because it was a song that I wrote all of. And I think the most challenging one recording, I'm gonna have to say Mirror Death.
Mirror Death, okay.
Because it's the big epic, you know, the clean guitars and the really melodic intro. You know, it's the opener of the record, right?
Okay. Was there a clear theme or message behind the lyric from the start?
Okay, so wait, like talking about the album, the whole album?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, we did. This is what our theory was writing the lyrics in the album. So we want to put stuff that we care about out there for food for thought, right? We're not, there is politics in the music, right? But we don't choose sides. We're not red or not blue. We're just putting out there what we see that's going on. You know, some of it.
No.
Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. We don't want to pick sides. We just want to put what's out there in our hearts, what we feel is going on today in the world. That's it.
Yes. You know, Everybody can choose the side they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So as far as like songs like Together We Rise is like an anthem for our fans. It's about going to a show. You know what I mean? So it's like a fun party rock song, right?
Okay.
And the rest is, you know, and Snarler is about a creature that's in a nightmare, right? That you foresee that comes under your bed. Snarler is a crazy song. You read the lyrics on that song, and it's pretty wild.
Okay, why Nefarious? The name? Sorry, I'm being Dorak. I don't know what is Nefarious. It's a kind of what? A demon or something?
No, Nefarious means doing something nefarious. Here, let's. I'll get on here right now. Gotta watch.
Okay.
Fine. Nefarious. Typically of an action or activity, wicked or criminal.
Cool. But he was
bad. Yes. So it's an activity. So it's an activity of something wicked. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you go out there, dude. That was nefarious. You know, that was crazy. That was wicked.
Oh, I like it. And Rick, who produced the album?
Who produced the album? I'm gonna say Tom, our bass player, and Doug produced the album.
Okay.
We did all the tracks except for everything guitar-wise in my studio.
All right.
Player's studio is called Subterranean Studios, and it's in Oakland. He does a lot of stuff over there.
Okay, and mixing and process.
The mix was done by a dear friend, Damien Rasmussen, a friend of ours who's worked on all kinds of stuff from back in the day. He helped us. He helped Exodus back in the early days.
Yes.
So he's really good.
Exactly.
He lives really close to Doug, so it worked out really well, actually.
Did you get involved in the mixing process too? A little?
Everybody does.
Oh, okay.
Because that's, you know, the tracking is one thing, but the mixing is fairly difficult because everybody in the band, five of us, all has an opinion, you know what I mean? So it's like, I want my guitar louder, and Will wants his drums to sound a particular way, and Tom wants his bass loud. He wants to be able to hear his bass, and, well, you know, which is killer. And everybody's got an opinion. So you have to take everybody's opinion, and it's you have to make everybody happy. The bottom line in the mix is we try to make everybody happy, right? And that is not easy.
Wow. And what was the chemistry like between you and the rest of the band?
That's amazing, man. We all have a lot of love and a lot of respect for each other. We just played our record release party, our debut, very first live show, the 19th of July, a couple weeks ago in San Francisco. It was incredible. It was like 750 people at the DNA Lounge in San Francisco, record release. It was unbelievable. And the chemistry was off the chains. It was fantastic, bro.
Wow, fantastic.
Our goal is to, right now we're working on getting out there on the road, man, and trying to get some shows together and trying to do that.
Yes, the album dropped on July 18th, right? What was that day like for you?
That's a good question. Okay, so, let me answer in a full. So the release process of Addicted to Power started in May with the first single, which was One Nation Enslaved, right? So in today's music business, when you release a single, you usually have a video attached to it, right?
Normally, yes.
Okay, so we didn't have a video, and it was time for us to release a single. So we're like, and we didn't want to use AI. We're not big fans of AI. We wanted to stay away from AI. So we just, you know what, we decided to shoot us playing the song in our rehearsal studio.
I saw the video.
God, right? And it's old school. We filmed it with an iPhone. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you, that before, we weren't sure what people were going to think. But we just said, man, let's just do it. Let's just release it, you know. And people loved it, dude. And we were like, oh my God, yeah. You know, it was a very, really, really happy day for us, you know. Because we weren't sure if people were going to like it, the video, you know. But they ended up loving it. And then we released Master Plan after that, which is a little slower, more of a not a, so much of a thrashy song, but it's still heavy. And then Addicted to Power. And so July 18th comes and we drop the album. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. The feelings are mutual with everybody. Of course, you're going to be nervous because you put so much work into this project and you want people to like it, right? So it's kind of nerve-wracking, I have to be honest. Only because I care so much about what people think about it. It means a lot to me. Just thank God that people loved it, you know, and just, I just want to go out and say that we can't say enough about how much we appreciate all the love we're getting for the record, man. We just love you guys so much. And we can't wait to see you guys on the road.
Yes, great. And Rick, you were part of that classic Exodus years. How do you feel when you look back?
Blessed.
Good answer.
Yeah, well, we went through a lot of stuff, dude. And, me personally, I mean, we all did, but I've said it a million times in interviews. And, you know, I fought some demons when I left Exodus, and I had to get my head right. But looking back on my time in Exodus, I couldn't. Blessed. I mean, I'm just so lucky. Listen, there's a million guitar players out there that are so much better than I am. You know what I mean? But I think back then it was more of a situation where it wasn't like who was the best guitar player, because you just get on Instagram and there's 1,000 guitar players that are just
millions
of them, you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, back then it was more like, you know, let's write, we're just going to be ourselves as crazy wacko youngsters and just be Exodus and release this music that nobody's ever heard before and see what happens, you know what I mean? We were just really, really extremely lucky, and we had help from so many people all over the world, you know, And we were really lucky because there's so many bands out there that just don't get the opportunity that we were.
And you play with Exos again, Bonded by Blood, 40th anniversary.
Yes, sir.
Would you be open to more moments like that?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll always be a part of Exodus. I mean, Gary calls me all the time, says, dude, you want to do this? You want to do that? You know what I mean? I didn't record a solo on this new album, but that's okay. I've heard some of the new album, and it's really, really good. You guys are going to love it. So, but I sure would like to go out, and Nefarious and Exodus would be a good bill, right?
Right.
That would be awesome. So let's see if we can't put something like that together. Gary, hey Gary!
Yeah, I interviewed Gary in 2007 for the Exhibit A, that album, like 20 years ago. And well, he got a good feeling with the ex-member of Exos.
Yeah, he
got good feelings. Yes, that's what I say. I was a witness. He's super nice in that. And what a life. What next for Nefarious? Shows, video, anything fans you expect?
Well, we're working hard right now. See, we have a kind of a situation where we have to plan our shows around Will with Death Angel and Hyrax from Caden. So we are in the middle of booking shows in between their schedules. So it's kind of challenging, but we're getting it done, and our goal right now is to finish 25 with some shows, maybe a week leg or something on the west coast of California, and maybe someplace like on the east coast or in the United States. Our main goal is to get to Europe in 26. You know what I mean? Play the festivals and see what's, and just see if we can put, because now we got good festivals in the United States, so we're trying to get on these festivals.
Okay, and I forgot to ask you, what a fan tell you, the old fans, the old people, what they say about this album, Addicted to Power?
They love it. They absolutely love it. And we're so lucky. It's like, you know, it's just, it's old school thrash, and people love old school thrash, you know what I mean? The production and everything about it, the songwriting, and it's old school, but people love it.
Yes, Rick, I grew up with your poster behind my wall, next to my pillow. I grew up in 1987 with your big poster with all the guys. So it's an honor. That's the reason to talk to you right now.
No, the honor is all mine. I appreciate you having me, bro. I really do.
And well, before we finish, any message you'd like to leave for the Rock'em audience on your fans around the world?
Yes, sir. So much love and so much respect and so much appreciation for each and every one of you, because without you guys, there would be no Nefarious or no Exodus or no anything. So you guys are the real show. We look super forward to seeing you guys in 25 and in 26. You know, that's our goal, is to get out there and play as many shows as we can. We got to earn our stripes, buddy.
Maybe any chance to come to Canada?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So if you can, nefariousband.com, we have a big cartel, Nefarious at Big Cartel. We have a band camp. So just Spotify, YouTube, IG, all of it. Go get it.